Thank you, darling Alma. How many years you've been ministering in the piano there? Ever since we began, right? Memorial Day weekend, 1992. Yeah. Turn your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Ellen, how's that arm feel? Just going to read the first three verses, because that's going to be the focus of our attention this morning and tonight. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall see him, or we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. I need to hesitate to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. There are two categories of families in this place this morning. The text I just read to you speaks of those who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and are part of the family of God. The only true and living God is the Heavenly Father. As a result, they are children of God. As such, they will be accorded all the privileges and honor that goes along with being the children of the only true and living God. But there are other children, hopefully not in this place, but there are other children in the world that belong to an entirely different family. As long as they remain in their sin, they refuse to come to faith in the Lord Jesus. They will remain in that family and eventually suffer all the judgment and condemnation that goes along with being in that family. Those are the children of the devil. 1 John 3:10. This is the children of God, and the children of the devil are made manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. John 8:44-47, you of your father, the devil. Think about that. Those who are saved has God as our Heavenly Father. Those who are not are children of the great wicked one. He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear because you are not of God. John 8:44-47. Now I'm going to leave that part of the introduction for now and focus on the glorious news. On the text that I want to read once again. 1 John 3:1-2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a fantastically glorious blessing to be the children of God. Now, if you focus on the text carefully, you will see that the text focuses on being the blessing of being the children of God now in our present state. Look at the verse 1. Behold what, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Beloved, now, verse 2, we are children of God. But wonder of wonders, also focus on the glorious blessing of being children of God in our future state. When the Lord returns and we see Him face to face, can you imagine what a blessing that's going to be? To be with the Lord Jesus forever and ever and ever. I'm just going to depart from my notes a minute. And remember the two men as they walked down the road to Emmaus, and Jesus came along and spoke with them. I've often wondered, because we're going to be there forever, if He'll just take us along and take us for a little walk and explain everything to us. Wouldn't that be a blessing? But if it, what a wonderful Savior we have. Beloved, now we are children of God. It does not yet reveal what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So in this brief text, we see the glorious blessing of being the children of God now in our present state, and the glorious blessing of being the children of God in our future state, when we will see our Lord face to face. Your outline shows you have tried to break the text down. We won't go through the whole thing, but we'll finish up, Lord willing, tonight. The glorious blessing of being the children of God in our present state. The basis for this glorious blessing of being children of God in our present state. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. When I begin to think long and hard on that statement and did some research as to the detailed interpretation of this word, I felt overwhelmed. A casual reading of the statement will cause us to miss the impact of what we are challenging to consider. As far as I'm concerned, with my grossly limited vocabulary, it is far beyond our ability to enlarge on, so I've resorted to plagiarism in the first order. The word behold means look closely, meditate and ponder, give close attention, scrutinize and contemplate what I'm about to say. Behold is a word of wonder. John has seen many, many wonders. John's life from the time of his conversion was a life full of wonders when he walked with the Lord for 3.5 years. Was eyewitness of all the miracles performed by the Lord. And when he appeared to him after his resurrection, when he was given the full vision of the end times in the book of the Revelation, when he saw the Lord Jesus in all of his regal splendor, he was all overwhelmed. He fell at his feet like a dead man. In all of this, wonders become somewhat commonplace. Yet, as he wrote the text, he could not help bursting out an explanation of amazement. Behold, meditate and ponder. Give close attention, scrutinize, and contemplate what I'm about to say. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. What manner of love, how great love, doesn't do justice. It's in the Greek, it's something foreign, something alien. Something that's inexplicable, known in terminology. It really says, look, there's a love that's utterly unknown to us. It's not at all like human love. It's alien. It's a love that human experience doesn't know. It's a love that's outside of us, above us, beyond us. We have a God who loves us with a love that is foreign to anything we could know. As Paul said about Jesus, his love passes knowledge. It's not the erotic love, it's not the affectionate love that comes between friendship or between man or woman or friends. It's not the family kind of love that's normal between parents and children. It's a love that basically loves because it chooses to love. It is the love of choice. It's spontaneous and self-giving. Its greatest expectation, Jesus said, is this: no man has demonstrated greater love than he will to give his life for his friends. It's self-sacrificing. It seeks nothing for itself, only to give himself the benefit of someone else, freely and spontaneously, without that person necessarily being worthy of such an expression. John looks at that and says, this alien love, look at it, this love of the Father has bestowed upon us. And there he answers the question. If the question is, what kind of love is this? Where did it come from? The answer is, it came from our Heavenly Father. As I say, it is alien, it's foreign, it's not earthly. The source of origin is heavenly. God is the initiator of true love. This love is foreign, and everything we know about that. He says it's bestowed on us, and he uses the verb that expresses a generous kind of giving. We could almost say lavished on us. This is the love that God has given to us. 1 John 4:9-10, in this the love of God has manifested us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It was a free, uninfluenced, undeserved, unmarried, spontaneous, sovereign love from God that has no human explanation, nor does it have a human counterpart, because there was nothing in this whatever to elicit that love. He loved us because it was in him to love us. And that's why I get upset when some people say, I don't know what God ever saw in me to make him love me. He didn't see nothing in us but sin. Yet in spite of that, he chose to set his love upon us. I got a little emotional there. The second thing I want to look at is the nature of this glorious blessing of being the children of God in our present state. Having shown how God has demonstrated his love for us by sending his Son that we might live through him, that he would be the propitiation for our sins, John shows us another way that God has loved upon us. Look at verse 1, that we should be called the children of God. He loves us so much that we should be called children of God. He brought us as close as we could get. He brought us into the family, children of God, not just friends, not just co-workers and co-laborers, although these elements of our relationship to God are certainly a part of it. Not just members of the kingdom, but family, adopted as his own loved children. Now there's a phrase that is not in the King James nor the New King James, but in most other translations. Look at verse 1. That we should be called the children of God, and we are. This is not a title, but an absolute fact. Beloved, now we are children of God. It's very encouraging, it's very comforting to us. He loved us when we were sinners and undeserving. He loved us when we were strangers and foreigners. He loved us when we were alienated from him. He loved us when we were his enemies. He loved us when we were children of the devil. Look at verse 10. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that the murderer has eternal life abiding in him. But it's here that we see the magnitude of the redemptive work of our precious Lord Jesus Christ. It is only when we consider the alternative to being the child of God that we can appreciate just how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us. Somehow, for some reason, we have lost this. We have lost our understanding of how special it is to be a child of God. Colossians 1:13-14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Excuse me. And conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And when he delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, he adopted us into his family. We became children of God. Galatians 4:4-7. I'm having the same trouble you had, Donnie. Must be something up here. Galatians 4:4-7, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are a son, God has sent forth the Spirit of the Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Love is inherently in the fabric of God, and every attribute of God is pervaded by every other attribute of God. It's a complete love. He loved to the end, to the max, to the full, John 13:1. Zechariah 3:17 said it's a renewing love. It's presented in the new covenant of Jeremiah 31 as eternal love. Romans 9:13-15, electing love. Romans 5-8 as a saving love. Romans 8:38-9 as an unbreakable love. Ephesians 5 as a protecting and purifying love. And Revelation 12:6 as a chastening love. It's not a general love. It's not a universal love. It's not an indiscriminate love. It is a special, particular, and discriminating love. It is a love that only believers know. And in our text, Wonderer of Wonders, it's an adopting love. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God, and we are. Now, I want to add something to this glorious truth. Even though we are now children of God, adopted in the family of God, His love for us is equal to the love that he has for his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Can you think about that? His love for us is equal to his love for his own Son, Jesus Christ. Look at John 17, please. The Gospel of John in verse 17. Verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I gave them, that they may be one just as we are one. I am them and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know. Here it is. You have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given them, and your love for me beyond the foundation of the world. It's easy for us to understand that God the Father would love Christ, his only begotten Son, perfect Son of God, sinless, undefiled, separated from sinners. He's God, a very God. He's obedient to the will of the Father. He humbled himself and became man. He always did the will of the Father, including dying for his people. But we are another matter. We loved him because he first loved us. But our love for him is small in comparison. He is faithful to us, but we are so unfaithful to him. We fail him in many ways. We offend him in many ways. We put other things ahead of him, and we hear our blessed Lord say that God the Father loves us as much as he loves his own Son. Is a truth that staggers the mind. He loves us as much as he loves his own Son, Jesus Christ. Think about that. There's nothing that we can do to make him love us more, and there's nothing we can do to make him love us less. He who knows me best loves me most. I don't know what he ever saw in me to make him love me. Oh, he didn't see anything in us but sin. But he loved that. You have loved them as you love me. One more thing. Even though we are children of God by way of adoption, Jesus Christ, the unique Son of God, loves us as much as loves God the Father. John 15:9. I'll just read it. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Now in the Greek language, major emphasis is given in three words. In reading the text, I tried to bring out the major emphasis by voice inflections. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. In the same degree, within the same boundless dimensions, in the exact manner of my Heavenly Father loves me, I love you in the same degree, within the same boundless dimensions, in exact manner. God the Father loves us as much as he loves his own Son. Christ loves us as much as he loves God the Father. As the Father loved Christ from all eternity, so Christ has loved us above all eternity. As the Father loves Christ with divine delight, so Christ loves us with divine delight. As the Father loves Christ with a special and peculiar affection, as Jesus loves us with a special and pure particular affection. As the Father loves Christ with an unchanging, unvariable, constant love which will last forever, so Jesus says he loves us with an unchanging, invariable, constant love which we will last forever. Now this morning I want to try and wrap our arms around this established, this glorious assertion, namely that Jesus loves the children of God in the same degree, within the same boundless dimensions, in the exact manner that the Heavenly Father loves him. Now we know this because Jesus said it. We know that Christ loves us because he tells us over and over again. He has also demonstrated this greatest way possible by dying for us while we were helpless, while we were still sinners, while we were still his enemies. For the most part, we do not fully appreciate the great love Christ has for others. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my life. Another thing is, children of God adopted in the family, we are joint heirs in the inheritance that will be given to Christ. Wake up, Spups, it's Callie. Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of adoption again, but you received the spirit of adoption by when we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and children then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified with him. And in spite of all of our failures, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren. Hebrews 3:11-12, both he who sanctifies and those that are being sanctified are all of one, of which reason he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare to you my brethren, in the midst of the assembly I will praise you. And we see thirdly, the consequences of this glorious blessing of being children of God. Go back to our text in 1 John. Verse 1, therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. Because we are children of God by a sovereign, saving, supernatural love, having been transformed, the old life is gone. We walk a newness of life. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. The world does not know us. The ungenerated mind cannot comprehend who we are. We go into a restaurant and sit down. They don't have any idea you're a child of God. They don't have any idea that the Spirit of God, that is the creator of the universe, lives in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He loves you. They have no idea that literally in your soul is the life of God. They have no concept of the fact they are fitted for heaven. You are fitted for heaven. Have no idea that beating in your mind and your heart is the hope of eternal life. They have no idea that you have direct access to the throne of heaven, and from the throne are dispensed to all things that you need in life, answers to your prayer, peace and joy. That available to us is the full fruit of the Spirit in all of its fullness. We have no idea that sent from heaven, dispatched to our aid, are all the ministering angels of God doing the will and fulfilling His purpose and protective concern for you. They have no clue who you are. We possess a veiled life from them. They have no clue that Jesus was either. Great tragedy of those in the world that did not know God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. John 1:11, He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But undoubtedly had diverse mind when the first part of our text. The world who did not know Christ was, even though they saw they lived a perfect life. The world did not know Christ even though they saw all His miracles. The world did not know Christ even though they heard Him speak like no other man ever spoke. The world did not know Christ because He revealed their wickedness. There are two ways that we can let the world know that we are children of God. First of all, the testimony of our lives. When we seek to live like children of God in all that we do and say, the world will take notice. In many cases, they bring out questions that we should prepare to answer. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give defense to everyone who seeks you as a reason for the hope within you. We cannot expect anyone to believe we are children of a king unless we live worthy of our calling. We are a child of a king. Let our lives reflect that reality. The testimony of our mouths, taking every opportunity to speak the truth. Let me make an application. There are only two families in the world. Everyone in this place this morning are children of those two families. According to the Apostle John, everyone in this place this morning are children of God or children of the devil. The children of the God will be accorded to all the privilege and honor that goes along with being the children of the only true and living God. Privilege is an honor that we cannot comprehend now. Eye has not seen nor heard has entered the heart of God, the things that God has prepared for them. Conversely, they are children of the devil. But you don't have to stay that way. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If there's any here this morning that's is not a child of God, I pray you call out to the Lord to commit to forgive your sins and to ask Him to save you so that you will be adopted into the family of God, we pray. Father, thank you for this time together. Bless the word of God to our hearts. May we love you as you loved us. May we show our love for you by walking in obedience to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.